Welcome to the BCMA podcast. I'm your host, Lorenda Calvert, and today I'm joined by Michael. Michael, do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, thank you, Lorenda. Hello, my name is Michael Goodchild. I work at the Fraser River Discovery Centre in New Westminster as its museum coordinator, a position that has changed and evolved greatly over the last year and a half in due no small part to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. I guess a little bit more about me. I am English, though I've lived in Canada for most of my life. I completed my undergraduate studies in Vancouver, my postgraduate studies in museum studies at the University of Toronto. And this was one of the first positions I applied for following graduation of a great big list of museums I applied for, and I was fortunate to get the position here. And I've been working here since September of 2019. And that's me in a nutshell.
Thank you so much for joining us, Michael. September, that's really close to before the pandemic hit. You probably were just getting comfortable, starting to feel like you know what you were doing, and then a wham.
Yes, indeed.
Changed. Yes.
My job evolved in ways I could not have predicted. I went from mostly handling in-person public programs, planning an exhibit plan, an interpretive plan for 2020, and then we went into lockdown for the first 5 months of 2020. And for the first couple of months, there was very little any of us could do because this completely blindsided us. And we weren't able to predict for or plan for it, which, you know, I'm sure is the same for many, many museums and cultural heritage institutions in British Columbia and across Canada. But we were able to transition to a more digital approach. And then even after we reopened, we've maintained a lot of these digital programs and having this kind of approach in a lot of what we do, both in terms of education and in public programs. Those have been the things we've been able to focus on. Exhibits have unfortunately had to take a bit of a backseat, but that's simply a matter of prioritization of tasks.
Oh, that's so fantastic. I'm so happy to hear that you're able to pivot to digital programming. It's actually funny. This is a series that I've been hosting about the future of the sector. And almost every podcast is involved talking a little bit about the pandemic. I'm asking people, what do you think the future holds? And a lot of them laugh and say, well, I didn't think a pandemic was going to happen. So it is a tough question. But that's what we're here to talk about today, Michael. So I'm going to ask my question. What do you think the future holds?
Big question. A big question with a lot of answers. I guess I could just speak from personal experiences. I mentioned digital programs. I think the future of museums and cultural heritage lies in a hybrid approach to public programs, to exhibits, to anything that is front-facing the community and its audience and visitors. For example, one of the programs that the Discovery Center started during the initial lockdown, back in May of 2020, was a program we've called FRDC at Home, where we took a lot of the education content that we have delivered previously in our in-person public programs and education programs and our school visits, and we turned them into more bite-sized, digestible chunks of information that we could share either as videos or as blogs or as illustrated graphics, which brought me into contact with software for graphic design, which is something I had no official background in. So that was a pretty great learning experience. Similarly, we've done a lot of our sharing of content through our social media channels and getting them up to speed to be a bit more flexible in their approach and more engaging with our community, both in New Westminster and beyond, has been a pretty major task of mine since the start of the pandemic. So as we went from full lockdown to reopening tentatively back in June of 2020, we realized that there was still a lot of untapped potential in these online programs. But of course, now we had to balance it with reopening to the public and resuming, within reason, some of our public programs and education content. So what we decided, which I'm sure has been the case for many, many BC museums and heritage organizations, is to take this hybrid approach where we will, for example, run an in-person program But while we're doing that, we may be live tweeting about it, or we may be sharing online resources that are related to the program in question. Or, for instance, we might have an in-person craft activity. We have this monthly program called Super Saturdays, where we invite the community, usually families with children, and we talk about a certain aspect of the Fraser River, whether it's its economy, its environment, or its socio-cultural communities. And often it's accompanied with an education piece and a craft or an activity, something to engage the children. And what we found is quite effective is while we're doing this in-person content, we also can reach back to this archive of digital stuff that we've created now, that we can share and reshare and continually propagate it on our social media channels and on our website, as well as sort of reach a wider audience, because of course we have building limits, we have pre-registration for everything that's in person, so there's no way that we can have this reach everyone. So by having this alternative, this online alternative, we find that people who were unable to sign up for our in-person stuff can still engage with what we have to offer and can still be a part of things. And we find that as, you know, as we move towards a post-pandemic world, whatever that's going to actually look like, I think that we have this great opportunity to maintain a lot of these online programs, both for public public-facing activities, as well as our education, school visits, and things like that, even up to and including special annual events such as the Riverfest event that we run every year at the end of September for BC Rivers Day, as well as when we move towards new exhibits as part of our interpretive plan. We can have this online, maybe whether it's an online presentation or live streaming the exhibit opening, to ensure that we have this increased reach, even though in-person visitation has been more subdued in the last year and a half.
I'm so delighted to hear that you're looking at a hybrid approach for the future, for this post-pandemic world, because I'm so worried that we're producing all these really interesting things and we're developing all these really great digital skills, and then you know, post-pandemic, everyone's just going to leave them behind and they're going to get deleted from the website and they'll just be filed away. I know that we're going to be really excited to be able to connect and engage in person again. But I think what we're making right now is really cool. And I don't want it to just be left when it can have some long impacting, I don't know, presence. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. And what's more, I have a personal stake in this, because a lot of this online content, at least initially, I was making, you know, it was entirely my content that was being created for the center. And since then, I've been getting a lot more assistance from my colleagues, and they have, you know, rebalanced the levels of responsibility, or who creates what, who produces what, to lighten the load, especially as we transitioned back into being open to the public, and those responsibilities have kicked in again. But yeah, I think that this has been a wonderful opportunity for me to produce material and learn skills that had very little to do with what I had actually studied. My graduate degree was a really, really interesting experience, but it was also traditional in terms of what happens at a museum. It was very much focused on in-person engagement, which is unsurprising because most of the public enjoys in-person interaction with museums. They tend to be, you know, more interested in that than they would online stuff. However, COVID-19 threw a big spanner in the works of many museums and cultural heritage organizations. So having to pivot towards this online approach was incredibly important to ensure that we didn't, you know, just stay shut and perhaps fall out of the public eye. Public awareness is an ongoing challenge that we have here at the center. We've been here for a while, but a lot of people in the local community, they walk by us and they're not sure who we are. So having that online presence and maintaining it post-pandemic, I think, is integral to us growing and continuing to be able to serve the community in the future.
I completely agree. Absolutely. Michael, do you have any last thoughts you want to leave us with?
I guess if I could send a message to other emerging museum professionals or aspiring museum professionals, is in your program, in your undergrad or your postgraduate, you will learn about the idea of having to wear many hats while working at a museum, especially a smaller community museums. But I'm sure this happens in larger ones as well. It's one thing to learn about it, but you don't truly appreciate what it's like until you are actually working at an institution. Often your work is temporary or contract based. Often you are having to meet very fast deadlines. Often you're working with a wide variety of individuals, and the kind of work that you're doing can change from place to place. It can change from month to month. I work with exhibits, yes, public programs. I also work with online, the content that I've been talking about, social media management, creating campaigns, engaging with would-be volunteers. There's just a huge variety of work that I do, which I had no idea would be the case. So expect the unexpected, I guess I could say, I would suggest. And also bear in mind matters that relate to things like indigeneity, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, something the Discovery Center is trying to work towards with our interpretive plan, is having a greater emphasis of indigenous voices as the original inhabitants of the area where the center now stands on. But making sure that we do it in their voice. And this applies to other minority communities, historically marginalized communities as well in Canada. And I think that's a much broader thing. That's a whole separate conversation, of course. But I think that is something to bear in mind as well to emerging museum professionals as they move through their studies and start to head out into the big wide world, so to speak.
I think that's an excellent thought to leave us with. I do feel like every single person has had to develop new skills over the past 2 months now. that we've been doing this, and that flexibility is something that won't leave from the museum field. You do wear a lot of hats, whether it's a pandemic or not a pandemic. There's always going to be new skills that you're developing. So I think that's a great thought to leave new museum professionals with, that flexibility that you've learned over this past pandemic time. It's an asset because you're always going to have to be flexible in the field. That's fantastic. Thank you, Michael.
Absolutely. Thank you.
If people wanted to reach you, how can they get a hold of you?
Right. Yes. I guess the best way would be to contact my email, which is all lowercase, mgoodchild@fraserriverdiscovery.org.
Fantastic.
So yeah.
I'll link the Fraser River Discovery Center website in this podcast description so people can check you guys out there as well.
Perfect.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.